What is a scapegoat? What is a scapegoat? A scapegoat is someone who tends to be the person that, and these are usually people that communicate, that are empaths, that like to talk out their problems. I'm gonna raise my hand because I'm an empath. I didn't know until I had a trauma therapist dissect things and say, you're an empath. You feel what other people feel. You wear your heart on your sleeve. When you get in relationships, people who tend to need mother figures tend to be drawn to people like you. True, 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 true. You want to resolve problems and matters right away. You don't like to let things linger. You don't like dysfunction. You don't like non-communication. You don't like to have people take the matter and twist it and flip it. It's scapegoat. People, excuse me, are scapegoats. You take the brunt of the problems. You take fault for things. And as an empath, a lot of times you just stand there and take it. When you realize that there's patterns and things that didn't work and that you need to get in a different path of life and you need to take a different strategy and it's not working for you and you're realizing that there's a lack of respect from the same person or individuals because people who are empaths and you're a scapegoat and you're dealing with dysfunctional stuff, you'll realize that you're dealing with the same old pattern over and over and over again and you lost all emotions. I mean, I went to the emotional part of things. I'm over it. You know, it's emotion is energy. Crying, yelling, being upset, you know, happy, mad, sick, like whatever. When you go through problems in life and hard times, you're going to feel all that. Don't ever have somebody try to puppeteer or master tier you, a robot, and try to train you and you know, set you up to not feel. Anybody who does that, that's not normal behavior. When you stay away and you walk away from dysfunction, no matter what it is, whether it's in a marriage, it's in a family, most of the time estrangement and dysfunction go together. It's usually dysfunction. This is coming from trauma therapists. And those I saw a psychologist in Ohio, you know, dealing with a lot of serious matters. Wasn't a joke. You find yourself like just, you know, when you become a scapegoat, and I never knew what a scapegoat was until I literally was sat down and was told, well, I was told this by legal counsel, by an individual who was a stand-in judge. You are a scapegoat. I was sent a letter explaining, you know. When people have to apologize for other people, you have to really stand back. The first thing you're going to ask yourself is, why am I getting an apology from other people, but not the people that should be the apology for? It's because there's people in this world that aren't involved in matters. They're not involved in the circle. They're not involved in the issue. And they're literally on the outside looking in, peering in, and they're seeing things not okay. And they're watching someone that is trying to make things okay. And I've been the person trying to communicate, trying to fix things. And it falls on deaf ear. People either hang up, they blah, 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 blah. They start scapegoating. They flip things around on you. You know, it's just, and you have to realize the behavior, which is an action decision, you know? And you have to know too, when to raise your hand and say, okay, I take fault for my doings. Okay. AKA, we'll say it in French, shit. Okay. But then there's times, I'm sorry, you could have taken fault on people's behavior, lack of, or communication skills, or problem solving, or just a simple apology, or owning your shit. You can't go owning other people's shit. I'm guilty of doing that and allowing people to use me as a scapegoat, and I didn't realize what a scapegoat was. You know, because when I saw a psychologist in Ohio for the things that had, I realized that this isn't things that just had started over a course of years, over a decade. These are things that I have dealt with throughout my life. And there's a really big pattern. Problem solving and looking at things in a logical sense only happened when I was referred to a trauma therapist. And all that started when I started oncology, being transferred into different care. When you go through oncology and they deal with things, oncologists, and you're dealing with rare things that don't make any sense, that they don't see, they've never seen before, they haven't seen my case, they didn't understand my case. And then when you go to that point where they max everything out and there's no rhyme or reason and it's just not working and things are not going to be resolved, you know, and you got like a short span time to enjoy life and things start growing back. And, you know, mental health is part of your care. And I don't care what anybody says, any oncologist listening and any oncology patient, as you must understand, is mental health has to be part of overall care. Care for a lifetime, because when you don't resolve matters and things are just kind of lingering, you got to have mental health part of your care. Don't be afraid. You know, I know oncologists listening, and I know most oncologists do offer and make sure that there's an overall care. And that's part of palliative care and hospice care and pain management care, and all the care just gets wrapped into one. Is it's for the best for the patient. And mental health is just as important as internal health. It's got to be all around wrapped together like a perfect little gift with the perfect little bow. And that's how it's worked for me. You also sometimes I've realized, and this is the first time this year that I was assigned by judiciary an advocate. And the reason was is because people felt it was very important for me to have an advocate to start maneuvering me through any problems I'm having, whether it's personal issues, whether it's dysfunctional issues, whether it's medical issues, whether it's just like I've been dealing with just PA paperwork, which is what pharmacists require and different things, and getting prescriptions approved through, you know, pharmaceutical companies. And let's just say by being a straight shooter with your specialist, and I'm going to talk about this on a different podcast, it's just sitting down and being honest and not feeling like, well, if I talk, it's not going to go anywhere. It's just being a straight shooter and being honest and having honest conversations with your providers is the best gift you'll ever give yourself. And this is something new that I just started the past several months. When I got assigned an advocate, I started seeing clarity. I started feeling clarity, and my life has changed dramatically. I don't handle things the way I used to. I don't deal with problems the way I used to. I don't deal with dysfunction, non-communication. I don't deal with acceptance. I don't take on people's behavior. I don't own people's behavior. I own my own French shit, okay? I bask in my own shit, and I don't hold skeletons in my closet. I've never been that kind of person to do so, and I've always been a communicator. But I've realized I've wrapped myself into a lot of non-communicative people, and it's the same. It's not new people that I brought into my life. It's not new friends. You know, I'm going to say this because I'm sure the person listens to this. I reconnected with someone I'd known for a long time just over the past, beginning of this month. And it was the best gift I could have given myself. We don't need to go into where we left off. We don't need to rehash anything. We're different adults now. We're in different parts of our life. But we have gone through very similar journeys, and it's not been easy. And we've dealt with a lot of estrangement, and we've dealt with abandonment issues, and we've dealt with a lot of grief. But we're in a different part of life where, as they said, I let God handle it. I don't let this stuff bother me anymore, because what's the point? Spent all this time and years, and all it did was hurt them. Because really, reality, all it does is hurt you. When people don't resolve matters, and things only escalate and get worse, and you see a pattern, and it's destructive, and it's going nowhere, and you're the communicator in a non-communicative cycle with others, you're never going to get anywhere. There's no point of letting it get to you anymore, okay? There's no emotional response anymore. Sorry, it's done. I think the only way to learn that really is with therapy, or, you know, as they said, they listen to a lot of spiritual things, a lot of those in the religious, you know, spiritual world. A lot of videos and songs and things and uplifting things and realizing, you know, in situations where you have estrangement and things and it's sad and it's sad. It is. It's sad. The easiest way to resolve dysfunction and problems and units and families and villages and however you want to say it around the world, because for yourself, my journeys are national, is the best way to resolve and get past all that is really easy. It's really easy, folks. Let me tell you how easy it is. It's just as easy as breathing in air or taking a drink of water is communicating. That's the easiest way to resolve dysfunction, problems in your marriage, problems with family, and severely broken ties. I mean, we're talking ties so broken, it's all the way down to making the fabric material for the ties. Sorry, I had to make it lighthearted on that. But you cannot force people that are non-communicative people to communicate. I went through it again this morning. It's trying to get someone to understand just something we're dealing with, a matter over a vehicle, and trying to, as per counsel, is resolving this matter to make sense. You know, I had to order a vehicle. This is the truth. Screenshot here. I had to order a vehicle because I had an intuition and sense that something was about to go down. I sensed that destructive behavior. I felt being ganged up on, and it's a very familiar behavior. I've experienced it for many, many years, and I felt it going down. I brought it to attention of my therapist and legal counsel, my advocate, and this is a situation, this is how I feel. I'll be darned if the next day it wasn't verified how I felt. I got a very disturbing voicemail. I let other people listen to it that are not involved, third party. And then I got some strange texts that I had saved, and which led me to believe that, listen, we need to get in a situation where I felt like I needed to order a vehicle. The problem was, is really where this all started is when I got married to Eric. I really didn't feel after oncology treatments when I was told, you got to fight your prognosis this year. If you want to travel, you better do it. I really thought like that was it. I really did, because I thought, you know, I have maneuvered through a lot of things in my life and I've survived, but there's no way in hell. Because I saw this thing, because, you know, I had NIH, I had rare cancer institutes, oncologists, I had those that study my case, and everybody was in town. And this last time everybody got together, and one of my providers, my oncologist this week, you know, they said they received calls, and they said, I got a call from so-and-so and so-and-so. We didn't need to talk about it. They just looked at me. You know, they knew where this was going. We all have to be on the same page. I started getting a little bit of a sense of, I'm going to say personally, sometimes providers feel like they may have their toes stepped on. Do you call it a type of ego or things or whatever? I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point. It's just sometimes providers may feel or don't want their toes stepped on. They may feel like they're being toes are stepped on, but that's not what it is. And really, I've realized as being an older adult now, I'm back to communication skills. It just really boils down to communication. When you have multiple providers and you have a case that's not normal, and my case is not normal. It's not normal. Blueprint was there when I was born. Before I was born, I can't control that. That's what it is. But I'm not going to take fault on anybody blaming me for anything. And if you ask somebody for help, nobody should be throwing that in your face or using it as leverage or bullying, because that's not okay either. That is never okay, never going to be okay, never was okay. It's never going to be okay, and it will continue. Now, I sense that I remove myself. I'll also protect myself, and I'll do what I got to do, period. You know, if I sense that, I'm going to order a car. I'm going to protect myself. Before anything even goes down, I get that feeling, and I did. I jumped ahead. Like I said, unfortunately, when I got married to Eric, I didn't think I was going to last that long, especially after oncology. I started making changes. I trusted him, even though I shouldn't have. But I felt back in a corner. I didn't know really how to maneuver through things. And it wasn't until really digging deep with therapist and getting into a trauma therapist and looking at things logically did I realize that I probably made grave mistakes. Started putting things in only his name, started adding him into a bank account. That didn't work. We'll see where that went. I've had to remove everything, you know, possible. I had to go through paperwork, notarized legal side. If people think there's no legal separation, once again, this is a screenshot. It is. It's also in the attorney's safe. I have matters to attend to later today regarding that. But I made decisions based off of, well, I felt like this was the end and blah, 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 blah. And really, in all reality, I realize now the point of my life is the end comes when God decides. When the universe decides, that's when it is. You may suffer a lot. You may go through a lot, and I have with my health, and it's not been fun. It's been hard as hell. And if people aren't in your shoes, don't expect people to understand the pain you feel and the things you go through, because they're not. They never will. Nobody's body is the same. Everybody's unique, so nobody can relate. You can relate to levels. Like on Caring Bridge, I've changed a lot of the way I think about things too and look at things logically, is because connecting with others that have rare cases, and watching their journey, and there's some similarities. There's a lot of estrangement. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of, you know, blame tripping. I think a therapist said there's a psychological term. There's a lot of things that they experience, and they're trying to maneuver through it. And I've been able to connect and bouncing off ideas and things with each other. And it's been really insightful and helpful. So I literally has changed my life too. But I put a lot of things in Eric. What I made a mistake was in talking about a vehicle and things going on. And dysfunctional, really crazy things over a vehicle. It should be happening, makes no sense, but I realize it's not about the vehicle. It's just a continuation, escalation of non-communicative things going on with people that are non-communicative. I don't know how else to say it. They don't communicate. The communication comes off as aggressive. And that's based off of what I have. That is fact. And that's what I was told is what somebody else looking outside looking in is very controlling and bullying, and it's not okay. I made a decision to order a car. I'm not going to get the car until February, March. Can I cancel the car ordered? Why, yes, I can. Do I feel comfortable doing that right now? Well, hell no, I don't. Because I got in a non-communicative conversation that was going one way and it went complete opposite. I had exit. Because I don't want to get, why'd I exit? I don't want to get into the same non-communicative knockdown dragouts in the same cycle and circle. I don't want to get into anymore. It's not what I need. It's not healthy for me. And I just am older and wiser, and I don't want that. So I have to exit gracefully, keep conversation. If people can't handle conversing on serious matters, and not just one time, but if you look and step back in situations, no matter how someone is connected to you, whether it's a family member, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a best friend, whatever situation, if you have that non-communicative and you want to communicate, but you realize that somebody can't handle anything negative, they don't want to listen to anything negative, they don't want to deal with anything negative, they don't want anything negative in life, okay? That's not going to change with time. If somebody is like that and that's how they are, it's not going to change. You could feel like with time, maybe they'll change how they look at problems in life, how they handle them. But for whatever reason, that's not for you to dissect or find out. And it's not for you to solve. It's just you have to exit conversations and not talk about things. And if someone, you realize can't handle it and ends up in a knockdown dragout, it's not going in a healthy dynamic direction. You got to exit conversation and keep the conversation just... is the only way they can handle is in a positive light. Is life always positive? No. Should you be able, as some people in this world, even if they're on a totem pole, be able to talk about, you know, the bad things in life? You should be able to talk about that on a totem pole with even your parent or parents. But if you can't and you realize it's going nowhere, and sometimes no matter stripping the title, whether it's a parent or parent, strip the title, we're all human beings. We just walk into these titles in life, okay? But if someone can't, they can't handle the negative and they don't want to hear about it, don't want to talk about it, and it's going nowhere, then you got to realize that conversation and the way it is and how your relation is, no matter who it is not going to be a normal. You know, if you dealt with this before and you're now filling yourself with normalcy in life and choosing people and things are normal, it's a normal relationship, normal ties. Sometimes you'll bring people from your past back in because with time you'll realize right like that, like with someone I connected with, I consider them my family. I consider them my family. We call each other sisters. You know, we don't have to be by blood. We've got a lot in common. We've been through a lot. And we picked up off from many years ago. We don't talk about certain things. We don't have to. We both have come to acceptance and things, and we've gone through things and leave it up to God. And is their philosophy and mine is logic. I just don't have emotions towards things anymore. If it's not going to, it makes no sense of it, and it's a lot of energy from me, I have to learn to just numb and not feel, you know? In certain situations with certain people, I just can't. It's the healthiest way and decision with the help of a therapist, it has to be. But I realized again with time, you're talking about matters, and this was just about a vehicle, and it went absolutely, out of the ballpark, home run. It went nowhere. I had to hang up. It wasn't getting to be a healthy conversation, and there was nothing that is the whole point was not even getting to the point. It went all over the place. It just wasn't okay. You know, I put leases in Eric's name, you know, and when that happened and things happened and, you know, things with, you know, Eric has things he has to work on, and I'm not going to get into that because that's Eric and not me. But I've learned that I shouldn't have done a lot of things and made a lot of decisions to where it ended up to the point where OSH, you know, SH star T, I'm putting my credit, helping him with his credit. I've done this before with another person I was involved in a relationship with. I helped establish their credit. I've always been up on my credit. I've always believed your credit affects your life, and it does. I let my credit suffer and help them, and I did the same thing again. And I realized that is a destructive decision on my half. My ownership's there, and I need to reverse this. And then, you know, when you go to reverse, and then a person's doing things that shouldn't be affecting you, you know, when you have a legal separation, they shouldn't. Now I got to get an attorney involved. I got to fix all this mess. And I finally fixed it. It took a hell of a lot of work. You know, it could have, like, you know, really struck my nerves, but I'm learning just not to feel. And that's a great decision, because now my credit's back where it was. I was able to order that vehicle. Why'd I order the vehicle? Why'd I jump ahead? Because I could foresee the future based off of things and dysfunction, things I went through. And I knew something was about ready to go down. I had that intuition. A lot of people do, and I do. And I was spot on right. And I had told people before things happened. I had a voicemail. It was very odd. I'm going to come to the property. I'm going to take the car. What? I mean, I don't even know where this person came into play, why they interjected. I have no idea. It was very strange. And then I had text messages. Yeah, you need to get your own car. You should get your own car, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, helping somebody out, don't throw it back in their face. When you're helping somebody out, help them out because you want to help them out. Don't use it as an incentive to dangle it or throw it in their face, whether the same day, next day, or whenever. Because I've had that happen to me too. Have somebody do something nice for you and they threw it in my face. Yeah. Or they would say they would help, and then it was just a maneuver to, as a gossip maneuver, whatever you want to say. I don't know what it was. It would be somebody have to ask that individual, because I have no idea. I just removed myself. I never wanted to have to go on disability. I continued working for a year until a physician who was a teaching doctor said, well, if you don't continue and go on disability, I could lose my license, because if something happens and it subjects somebody else, I lose my license. So it's a liability. I never, ever, so help me God, the truth, went on disability. Why? Because I always felt like what I've dealt with since then. You feel as less of a person. Then you have people that will do things that are not of support, but as of belittling you, and doing it in a very, you know, like in a strange way. You know, it's kind of like finding a way to make you feel a certain way without really saying it. To where today's a life changer. Today's a life changer. I've had to flip my whole sleep schedule. Things are changing today. It's not like, can we slowly get into this? No, they're changing today. I was advised by legal counsel, this issue with the car needs to be addressed. You need to get in a civilized conversation with whomever involved. I don't need to put names, because that's not the point and principle. Point and principle is how to maneuver through things and non-communicative situations, whatever situation it is, you know, and not get emotionally involved or get the conversation going off the left field, right field, and just hitting with the facts, logic, not emotion. It didn't go that way. It went back to emotion, and I don't want to go back that way because I don't work that way, and it never worked for me, and I'm not doing that. And emotion was back in Ohio with the psychologist. I'm in a different state, and I have been for a while, and the past 2 years has been logic. Therapy, learning logic sense, dissecting matters, where it began in the beginning, the source of the problem. And then looking at behaviors of others or decisions or matters and their emotions and why people do the things they've done, and no matter how hurtful it was, but looking at it logically and to not let it happen again, period. I ordered a car. I jumped ahead because I don't want anybody throwing in my face, helping me out, and then throw it back in my face and it happened again. And I had it happen before. You know, nobody wants to deal with chronic illness. I'm talking about you patients. You don't want to feel less of a person. You don't want people, especially if they're on a totem pole of life, I mean, making insults and jabs and innuendos and things and making you feel less of a person. Because what's going to happen is you're going to show people, listen, I'm going to still do what I need to do. I'm going to make healthy decisions. And sometimes maybe they're not the healthiest decisions. But you folks deal with chronic illness, sometimes you don't have any goddamn choice. Sometimes, like I'm dealing with right now, I don't have a choice. But I'm going to go full steam ahead like a freight train, and I'm going to do what I need to do for myself and my fur kids. If I had human kids, damn straight, I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, I'm not a weak-ass person. But I don't like toxicity. I don't like dysfunction. I've dealt with it for a long time, and I just, it's not part of my equation. It's not part of my life, and I don't want it. It's a lot of energy that you will use, and you're dealing with chronic illness. There's far more positive things, important things you need to use that energy for. And sometimes you just got to remove yourself or keep your conversation very limited as high. That's it. You know, if you get into situations where people just don't want to talk about negative, doesn't matter what it is, they don't want to talk about problem solving, they don't want to talk about it, then you got to realize if it's always been like that, it's not going to change because people are a people. You can't change people. You can only make decisions for you. Listen, this isn't working again, no matter what the topic. And I just need to limit conversations or whatever, just high. You got to do what you need to do, you know? Don't take blame for things that aren't your fault. You know what's your fault and what's not. Come on, we're all adults. You know what the hell's your problem and your fault. You know what you've done or continue doing, or you know the pattern that you're on, and you know it's not okay. You know how you're being bullying, destructive, you're being non-supportive, you're using somebody as a scapegoat, a punching bag, a target, whatever the hell. You're ganging up, you're culting up, whatever the hell. I don't care what it is. You, as a human being, know what your SHRT, excuse my French, shit. You know what's your shit, and you should own your shit, and you know what's not your shit, and you shouldn't be owning your shit. So don't own it. Don't go putting yourself and taking blame just to appease a situation or a person. I don't care. Elvis Presley came back in town and reborn, and you want to impress him. Just saying logically. Just as an example, okay? Don't go faulting yourself and taking blame for things that aren't of your fault and blame. Don't feel like you're being gaslit, manipulated, psycho, whatever, you know, mental health terminology is, because there's a lot I've learned in just 2 years. And I've absorbed every damn bit because it's logic. It's not emotion. Like when I was in Ohio and talking to psychologists, you cry, you get upset and mad, glad, you leave a therapy session and you're exhausted. Illogic is thinking and using the other part of your brain. It's problem solving. And you apply it to your life. And every time you find yourself in a situation, you take a deep breath and you pause for a minute and go, I'm not using emotion anymore. It's not happening. We're using logic. What's this person, individuals talk about? Where are we going with this? Where did this begin? Is this continued pattern? Is anything working? Is anything being untied? Is the mess being untied? If it's not, then remove yourself. Just remove yourself. You can't change people. Some things aren't your problem. It's not your issue. It's not your matter. Remove yourself. It's that easy. Remove yourself. Don't argue with people. Just remove yourself. Remove yourself. Don't you say nothing. Sometimes saying nothing is better than saying anything at all. It's sometimes the greatest thing is not saying anything at all. No, that's your power. How you respond is your power. Still say nothing. Can't communicate with someone. You can't talk to them on the phone. You got to exit the conversation whenever. Well, you got to finish the conversation if you're an adult. Got to finish it. Got to have an exit, okay? And make sure it's a logical one. Don't use emotion, logical. You know, you're allowed to feel how you feel. Listen, this way, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. Then get back to the basics of simple high. You're back to the basics. You know, unfortunately, sometimes is what it is. With Eric, I made a lot of mistakes. I took on a mother role. I let myself get taken advantage of, manipulated, whatever the hell, used. And that's the way it is. It was the past, and, you know, recently it happened again. You know, I'm owning of how do I stop this, because it happened in a sense that I didn't see the maneuver strategy that was chosen, and then I realized I got duped, you know? And then you talk to people non-involved, third parties that are outside looking in, because they want to see the best for you. People that are in your life, that you have in your life, that should be in your life, should be there for you unconditionally. If you need help, they shouldn't throw it back in your face. That's unconditional support, love, kindness, help, whatever, okay? But most importantly, at the end of the day, they should want to see the best for you, you know? People don't have to be tied or blood or whatever, you know, married, whatever, best for whatever, to want to see the best for you. These are people, you just realize sometimes the strangers that become part of your circle of life, no matter where you're at in life, become your greatest supporters and people that help you and lift you up and encourage you, you know. And I made some critical mistakes with Eric, you know, and I'm having to take the rein, you know, the bull by the reins, so to speak, and I'm going full steam ahead. Today's the first day. my sleep schedule flipped. I have to do things different. Should I have to? No. Is it okay? No. Is it fair? No. Hell no, it's not. But that don't matter. Because I'm going to do what I need to do. Full steam ahead, you know? The car ordered, I'm not comfortable. Canceling the order. Screenshot here. This happened before things hit the fan. Once again, I feel like I'm, you know, it's not like I feel. It's getting ganged up on. Okay? I feel it going down. I've been there before. I'm not going back in those waters. I don't want to be near those waters. Let those waters be on the route. Let the waters stay in the Atlantic. I'm on the opposite of the earth, you know? I don't deal with that. I'm not going to. It's a personal choice. I'm just not. You know? I'm too old for that stuff. I'm not into that anymore. I don't want it. I don't want the drama. I don't want the stress. I don't need it. You know, I'll take that energy. I have things I need to do for me and my fur kids. And if I had kids, damn straight, I'm going to do it too. You know, but I had to order a car. You know, I had put things in Eric's name and I made a mistake. And I've always had at least one car in my name. I made a mistake and released all the cars in his name. That's right. Then I had to make decisions, you know. And it happened because I felt like it was, I'm going to help, but this could be thrown back in my face. You know, I'm looking for change. We look for change in people that have not been our supporters and things have happened and we feel how we feel based off of reaction and fact, you know, and you'll protect yourself. And when you get that intuition, strong gut feeling, you need to do this. And I did. It was like somebody literally saying, you need to order a car. Your credit's back where it needs. The attorney helped you resolve matters. We fixed your credit. You know, you're almost at perfect credit now. You're in a position now to order it. I did. You know, you're in a position now. You do what you need to do. Okay. You know, you go through legal separation. You make an agreement. Yes, you're going to pay for this, this, this. And you realize the person you made agreement with is not paying. They don't give a damn. They don't care. They got the money. And then you realize where the money's being spent. And you literally see this from a third party showing you all this money where it's going. It's not going to agreement. It's not going to you. And you have to literally get people involved in things. And it's like, where's the point of just the hell with it? You know, you do what you need to do. You're going to do what you need to do. We've had to switch medicine around. We've had to switch everything around till I get to the point. We have to switch so much stuff because I have to be able to drive because I'm going to have to go back to work. Sick as hell. Because I don't have a choice. Is it going to be easy? Hell no. It's going to be hard? Hell yeah. You know, it has to be taken back to court to explain why we're having to make this decision. You know, where your advocate and your legal counsel step in because of this. You know? Is it okay? No. Is it right? No. Should I be in a situation? Hell no. But I don't have a damn choice. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm a strong-ass woman. I just don't say it. I'm going to make decisions and my actions are going to show. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to stand on 2 feet. I don't care if I got to crawl on my pinky. I'm going to do what I got to do. You know? I'm not going to let anybody take me down or make me homeless. You know? That's the truth. Somebody sits there and tells you, yeah, we never let that happen. And then they literally, it's just saying things to say things. You know what I'm saying? You'll have somebody literally want to do an about face and sit there to help you and they don't. And instead, it's the same repetitive behavior and you catch it because I caught it real quick. Like, this is just a joke. This is not, no, this is, there's a string. There's something. I was right. You know, because then they got involved about a car. And there's somebody doing, you know, helping me out and then stepping into matters that had nothing to do with them. And before it happened, I had a gut instinct. I had a really strange dream. And the next day, I'm on the phone with the dealership and I'm doing a car order. Oh, hell yeah, I'm going to protect myself. I'm not going to be without a car. I screwed myself by putting everything in Eric's name. I'm not going to continue screwing myself. That's stupid. Now, that's my damn stupid choice. That makes an ass of myself. And I should be older and wiser, okay? You know, and don't let people sit there and say, oh, grow up and you're immature. Because you do puppet skits. I've done puppet skits and I've done skits and I've put them on social media for kids and they've loved it. I like doing it because I don't have kids of my own. And it's something I enjoyed. And we all have that child, inner child within. I don't care if you like to put Halloween masks on, makeup, whatever. As long as you ain't doing it every day, I'm like, you let it be your whole point of your life. And you don't do what you need to do, priorities and responsibilities first. You start, like, you know, doing strange things and playing with wrestling dolls, whatever, and you know, before you get your priorities and you're an adult. Now that's a different situation, then there's a problem. But you know, doing things in skits and that was my way of dealing with anxiety. That's not a form of immaturity. That's a healthy way to deal with anxiety. What's unhealthy is become an alcoholic or a drug addict, sex addict, or gamble addict. And I chose the latter. I chose to make jokes, skits, and I loved, who would have thought, puppeteering. America's Got Talent, what is her name? One, puppeteer, huh? Puppet, it helped her. It was her way of being in a room when she was younger and a way of expression. Don't let somebody sit there and make light of. That's somebody's jealous as hell. You know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, jealous as hell, my opinion, I don't know. You know, immaturity is realizing you're in a situation and not taking the reins by your own damn self, nobody telling you, you just do it. That's maturity and going through it full steam ahead. You see the boulder? I'm going right through it. If I can't make it through it, I'm gonna damn try. That's where I'm at. Today's changed. Today is a day changer. It's a game changer. My life's changing today. It's gonna change, you know? And another part of me is I just had enough. You know, I realized in my life, I give people way too many goddamn chances. You know, I gave in relationships way too many chances. I gave marriage, you know, and serious relationships way too many damn chances. And I suffered for it, not the latter. Because I'm an empath, and I continue giving people opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And I realized that that's just selfish. I'm giving myself away, and that's not okay. And you learn and you rear yourself back and you take ownership and maturity of your behavior, your decisions, which are your actions. And if it hasn't worked around the circle how many times, it's not going to work around the center of the circle this many times either. You have to completely change your life, change your decisions, and change your actions. And you have to do what you need to do. And I'm going to do what I need to do. God damn it. I'm going to do what I need to do. Today's that day. I'm sorry. People make decisions and they do things, and that's you. It has nothing to do with me. I'm going to say on that. It has nothing to do with me. Nothing. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with me. Can't take ownership for people, you know? The thing of the car, you know? Man, somebody wanted to do something nice, and it ended up others getting involved that had nothing to do with them. I don't know where they came from. And then it became a big mess. And then per legal counsel, you try to talk and communicate about what's going on. And my reason, hey, listen, I ordered a car. What? They were shocked. I ordered a car. I think they think it's a joke. Screenshot here. It's not a joke. You could easily, Kim, call and have the order canceled. I'm uncomfortable. I may become comfortable. Right now, I'm not. I'm not going to get that car until March, maybe early April, because it's coming all the way from Taiwan, I believe they said. Korea, I'm sorry, let me rephrase it myself, Korea. It's being made in Korea. I was told last week, they just got the order. Maybe a little bit longer, into March, April. You know, God's good, I'll be alive then. Maybe I'll feel comfortable about, you know, somebody doing nice for me and not feel like it's gonna be thrown back in my face because it happened again. Or making me feel like I'm an imbecile. Well, just because you deal with and struggle with your health doesn't make you an imbecile or an idiot. Don't let people treat you as half-ass or less of either. Because that's not you. That's a person or persons doing that. That's now their problem. And remove yourself from that, please. No. You have people in your life. I'm going to tell you from experience, you fill your life with people that are unconditional for you. Unconditional love, unconditional respect, unconditional at their heart. That are there to lift you up, okay? To be there of support, to be there emotionally for you, okay? Having a bad day, you deal with the same cycle and you can't have a bad day because you'll be belittled, chastised, yelled at, you can't have a bad day, then that's not your cup of tea. It's not your people. I don't care how they're tied to you. Even blood, it's not always thicker than water. You know, sometimes you just have to fill your life with the right people and protect those people. If there's a pattern there, people get involved, and they're wanting to literally just take your whole life and then some, you protect those people. You protect them how you need to. You know, there's a lot of people have this going on in life, you know, and computer's computer and social media is social media, but there's a lot of people that are stalkers and weird and do things, and they'll literally take a picture of somebody and then they'll start problems because I've had it happen to me. You bloop the people. You blur them out. Use a different name. You do what you got to do. You know, carrying bridges private, I will not be making that public. Somebody asked me today, would I make it public? I will not. If you want to have someone join, you'll have to send them a link. You know, that's my decision. I don't want it public. You know, there are options with Caring Bridge and other sources too, where you can make it private, your journey. When you're talking about serious things with your health, you don't want to have it open and out in the open, because you've had people that weren't there for you. They weren't supportive. They were literally doing things that could have killed you, for love of God. You don't want them on your page. You don't want them on that part of your life and your journey. They were interfering with your health, your physicians, whatever the hell. Okay? You move past it. Now protect yourself. You learn from that, from your past. Now be smarter and wiser. Protect yourself. Keep the stuff locked down, period. You don't know what else to say about it. You know? Where am I getting with this podcast? This is part of my journey. These are real things that have happened to me. If I can help other people to maneuver and not make critical mistakes like I have, you know, like putting your spouse, if you've been married ever, putting them all on everything is a critical error and a mistake. You know, I hear it from a legal counsel from two. It is a mistake you made. I don't blame you. You felt this way, but logically you're right. Your therapist is right. That was a critical mistake because you've had to clean up big messes. And now the last mess is cleaned up. So start on this clean slate you are and don't make the same mistake, you know? It's the truth. I mean, you could have a legal separation all day long. You can go through a divorce all day long. And you could have, you know, we make an agreement. And the other person, you know, unless you have a brain tumor, Alzheimer's, dementia, or something that affects your brain thinking, okay, when you're literally sitting down and things are literally legally notarized and signed a document like I had, and somebody's not going by an agreement, there are ways and means to enforce it. And there are different ways and means to enforce it, and unique ways and means to enforce it. But that's not for you to enforce. Let the people handle that and how they enforce it. You just worry about yourself, you know? And you're dealing with, I'm going to say battles, because I don't know how else to say it. You're dealing with, you know, whatever. And then you have your health, you know? Prioritize what's important. Your health's important, you know? You got to get back to work and you got to do things. You got to find ways and means. When you're talking about disability, which I have, you work with disability advocate, you work with those in the vocational part of disability, and they'll help you try to figure out how can we get you to work in this situation that you need to get back to work. You don't have any other choice. Or you're going to end up homeless, you know, and you get back and they'll help you. And there's programs and things, and every disability case is different. My program and things changed now than it was just 3 years ago when I tried getting back to work. You know, and I did work for a while, and then it was kicking my ass. I was giving too much of my energy with working, and I couldn't do it. And it literally, I was dropping weight quick, and my body couldn't handle it. I thoroughly enjoyed it mentally, but physically, my body couldn't do it. So now we have to change things up. We have to go on a different program. I have to go with judiciary. I have to talk to them, and you have to go through this process, and we're there today. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to keep that car order until I feel comfortable I can trust it. And somebody's going to help you. And then you have other people interjecting. And you realize that, is this help or is it not? And you're not comfortable. You have the right, if you've been murdered before, to not feel comfortable. If you feel like you're right back where you were, and your radar, internal radar, is going warning, 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 and you listen to your gut instinct, it will never fail you and you'll never go wrong. And I went with mine. I ordered a damn car. Got my credit back established. I did it as quick as I could. And I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, but I'm not going to have anybody chastise or belittle me or make fun of me or use me as a scapegoat or an excuse for their behavior or lack of. I'm not going to have it. I'm sorry. I'm not you. I don't take acceptance. I don't own people's behavior, actions, or decisions. I only accept and take and responsible for my own. And I think in life as adults, if we understand that, our lives do get better. I don't think I know, because I'm an example. My life's changing for the better. It's not going to be easy. You know, it's going to be tough. It really is. And at the point now, too, where I'll be able to first year get the house sold. I'll actually be able to stand on my own 2 feet. And I'll never have to ask for help again. But I realize it's not about I don't ever want to ask for help again because I've been burned. I've had it thrown in my face. It's the people that you're asking help from. And if they've thrown it in your face before, many times before, then don't do it again. You know? Figure out organizations and people and new people you bring in your life, you know? And that help will be there because the right people you'll feel back in your life, in the right circle, in the right jar of life, you know? Just don't continue the same pattern it hasn't worked before and it never worked, it's not working now, it's just continuation, then don't go back in the same cycle and same circle and the same pattern, because it's not going to work for you. You're only going to frustrate yourself. And frustration is emotion, and that's just wasted damn energy, isn't it? You know, but in life, I'm going to say this as adults, you own your, excuse my French, we own our own shit. Don't go throwing your shit onto somebody else's plate of life if it's not their shit to own. Excuse me. That's the truth. We're only responsible as adults for our own problems and our own most important shit. Let me phrase that. We're only responsible for our own shit. So somebody tries to throw theirs onto you, you need to remove yourself. Because that's not your shit to own. And by all means, you listen to your gut and your instinct. The folks, especially you ladies, you do what you need to do. Well, and learn a critical mistake from me, too. Don't ever put somebody on everything. You're going through oncology, it's scary, you know, and somebody tells you this isn't good, and they knew after the third treatment it wasn't going away. This sucker's huge, it's not going away, okay? You feel like this is into your life, and I did. Don't make critical big decisions like I did and go throwing somebody that's not supportive. You're in a relationship or marriage, whatever, and they're not there for you, and they've been cheating on you, they're not there, whatever situation happened. They just don't care about you, okay? Or they're there for gain or whatever the hell, I don't know. Everybody's relations are different. But don't you go feeling like your life is over, it's going to end, and you're going to be dead and under. Because if that was the case, I would have been gone 5 years ago. It's your time when it's your time when God decides. And nobody knows what he's deciding. You could be here today and gone tomorrow, okay? But in the meantime, while you're here, protect yourself. Take care of yourself. Fill your life with positive people that lift you up and not tear you down. They'll stand for bullying. They'll stand for people gaslighting, scapegoating you, making you feel inferior. You ask somebody for help, they throw it back at you. Don't ask for help again. Don't. You know, stand on your own 2 feet sometimes. It's going to be hard as hell. But half the battle is trying, and that's where I'm at. Trying. If it works, then it works. And if it doesn't, hell, at least at the end of the day, I'm damn proud of myself because I tried. Period. And you can too. Yeah. You do what you got to do for you. Amen.